Okay, that's not gonna work. Because I will go ahead and get her. My name is Sharon Mitchell. Today's date is December 17th, 2009. Mm-hmm. And I'm interviewing Mr. John William Connor. And this is going to be about your experience during what war period, or just military period?
Military period.
Okay. Okay, now let's see if you can go ahead and tell me. You start telling me at what period were you in the military?
Okay, in 1939, I went to Xavier, and I was in ROTC there. And then the next year, I transferred to Eastern Kentucky, and I was in ROTC there.
Okay.
And on 10th of November, 1942, we were all sworn into the Army. We did not get called up at that time, but we were sworn in, so the draft wouldn't bother us until we got out. And then July the 3rd, we had to report to Fort Thomas, Kentucky, to be inducted in the Army.
Now that's July the 3rd, what year?
1943.
Okay.
And then we went from there to Cape Perry, Ohio, and we had some training up there, a waiting call to OCS, and a number of us were sent to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, for the artillery school. And that's the first year that the ROTC graduates, I think the only year that they had to go to OCS to get their commission. So got my commission, got out in November of 43, and then I was assigned to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as excess officers. And from there, we ended up in New York City in the post office department up there. And then stayed there for probably a year or so. Then I was transferred to Miami, Florida. We had an office down there which took care of the Southern Hemisphere for courier service. We were in the courier service that we got down there.
Okay. When you first went in, you went into the ROTC, and you were at school where?
I was first year at Xavier and 3 years at Eastern.
Okay. What was your major there?
Economics.
Okay. And so why did you get into the ROTC?
Well, I just sort of liked it. I mean, the fact that we got a little money for it, too, was helped out that school business.
So you were actually in the ROTC when Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, sure was. We were talking about it the other day. I was sitting where I was staying and was working on some lesson plans when we heard the news on the radio. And
How did the people react? I mean, what did you feel? I mean,
they couldn't imagine it, really. Something like that would happen. And of course it did. We were totally unprepared for it.
So from there, you were still in school and in the ROTC. Mm-hmm. So did they actually call you up to be active duty, or when?
They called us. They had us sworn in to active Army. And that way we were exempt from the draft so we could finish our school.
Okay.
And then at the end of our school year, we were sent to Fort Thomas, Kentucky. And that was on the 3rd of July of 43.
And what kind of training did they have you going through there?
It was just a reception point, and they sent people out different places at that time. We were just supposed to be there for a few days, but we ended up spending several weeks there. And they got us up one morning about 2 o'clock and gave us a good breakfast of fried liver. Shipped us up to Ohio, and that camp was run by the commandant of Culver, and of course we did more exercising in the water than anything else until we were called for our
OCS. Now you said class. Exercising in the water.
But yeah, we did a kind of water,
like water
swimming and so forth there.
Now were you in the Army, Navy, or what?
Army.
Okay.
Yeah. So then we went to Fort Sill and spent our time out there. We graduated and got our commissions in November of that year.
Now, Fort Sill, Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm. Artillery place. We all came out as lieutenants in the artillery. Okay. Field artillery.
How fast were you able to attain rank, go up in rank then?
Well, trying to think of, I got the first lieutenant when I was in Florida. I don't remember what year that was. And then I still had the first lieutenant when I got out. And that's about 4 years, like 4 years later. And I got out, I went into Army Reserves for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I went over to the National Guard, and I was in the National Guard about 6 months when our advisor, an Army advisor, he called down to see why I hadn't been released from the reserves to the Guard. Well, I was the number one man in the Louisville district to be sent to overseas, but they released me to the Guard because I'd been in there for 6 weeks or 6 months. So then I stayed in there. And
so you never had to go overseas?
No, I had Mexico and Bermuda, but never overseas, really.
What was your job? What did you actually do?
We had classified material, which means it's top secret and so forth, and we had to carry it personally to different places.
What, different bases or different?
Well, embassies and so forth like that. A lot of them went to the embassies.
And you went. You said you went to Mexico?
Yeah. Went to Mexico, went over to Bermuda, and several other things there.
What kind of information or message, what kind of information were you transporting between?
I have no idea. It's secret.
Just?
Yeah, we got it. It was all top secret. And we didn't open it. Couldn't open it. Anything.
Now, how did you get around then? Did they fly you? Or
most of the time we flew. Sometimes we took cars, but not very often. But we flew out of Miami to different spots we had to go to. Commercial flights, most of them.
So did people say on the commercial flights, did they know you were military? Or well, were you in uniform? Or,
yes,
or
in uniform.
Were you like secret?
No, we were in uniform. We usually had, in one case we had about 9 or 10 big cases of material, which preempted a lot of passengers from getting on the airplane.
So did you have to keep this material with you?
Mm-hmm. And stay with it until we got rid of it.
I think I heard somebody say you had to have it, some of it handcuffed to you at the time?
No, they never handcuffed me. Some of them they did, but we never. We had sidearms and so forth, but weren't handcuffs.
What's the most interesting thing that you can think that you did during your time? What kind of stories do you tell your grandkids about?
I better not tell this one. We had somebody in one of the embassies down in South America shipped a carton up to Miami. When they dumped it off the airplane, it crashed and ended up, there was 12 bottles of gin and brandy in it. Six of them broke. So he wasn't supposed to send it in, you know, but anyway, it ended up in our... He was very apologetic. He said, "That was a mistake. I shouldn't have been on that plane." We all knew that.
Did anybody get in trouble over it?
No. We kept it quiet.
When you were in how many years total?
33 altogether.
And of that, I know you told me to begin with, so much was ROTC, and yeah. Then you went?
4 years ROTC, 4 years in the Army, and as National Reserves about 6 months, and then the rest of the time in the National Guard of Kentucky.
So were you a courier with the National Guard
no,
too?
No.
What did you do there?
Well, we were in artillery units. We did some work in the coal mines and strikes and things like that. And one time we had to go up to Prestonsburg where they had a bus accident that killed about, I think, 30-some kids, drowned them in the river, which wasn't very pleasant. But
some of the typical National Guard duties.
Yeah. We were artillery for a good many years, and then they if habits changed on your things, we went to S&S, which is Service and Supply, and the quartermaster, we took care of food and so forth at the bases we were in. And,
now, were you in the National Guard when, I started to say the Korean War, were you still in then?
Yeah.
Okay, did that change your duties at all?
Mm-hmm.
And were you still in Vietnam?
Yes.
Can you tell me, think about the differences that you've seen, say, in technology or in how they handled the personnel between, because you span basically three conflicts there.
Well, I know I flew in helicopters a lot, and we had pilots that were trained in the States, and we had pilots that came back from Vietnam. And there's no comparison. The ones in Vietnam are so much better able to handle helicopters than the ones trained in the United States. You felt safe with them because they could get in and out of anywhere. The others, you were lucky to get out.
So now, did they use helicopters that much in Korea?
I wasn't in Korea, but they used helicopters a lot there too. But
Vietnam is the one you said they could get in and out of.
Yeah, they came back to Vietnam because they had set those down in places they weren't supposed to get into.
The unit you were in the National Guard, I know the one here specializes in, the different units specialize in different things. So you were the one in Louisville?
In Richmond,
okay.
Yeah, in Richmond. And so most of the time in Richmond, part of the time in Lexington, and the latter part of the time in Frankfort.
Okay.
And that's where I retired out of Frankfort.
So what did the Richmond unit specialize?
Artillery.
Okay.
Most of the time, artillery, yes. We had several. Well, we had British 4.5, which was a lousy weapon. Then we had 105s and 155s and 8-inch howitzers, which was the best weapon I think the Army ever had, but anyway, so accurate.
So now, were you all right on the Army base there in Richmond? Did you have to have any exposure with the nerve gas things?
Or no.
You didn't have to worry about that part?
We took some water and supplies down to the place they had for in case of nerve gas problems down in off the Kentucky River in a big stone mine down there. And we put water in, replenish it, and whatever else they needed. But that's about all we had. We did train some out on the depot, but not very often. We went to Bragg, we went to Benning, we went to Wisconsin, McKee, I think it is. And we went to, we went to a number of different states.
So was it different specialized training at each one of these different?
Right. States. States. Okay.
What did you do down at, Bragg?
Well, We did field maneuvers there, and we worked with some of the Bragg people, but most of the time we had to stay away from them. So they didn't like us coming in there with our boots on, because the boots were meant for the paratroopers, but the Army switched the boots right before we went in there, so we had a few difficulties with them, but it's all resolved.
Now, why did they do that now? Explain.
Well, paratroopers are known for the boots, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Army switched to the boots right before we went in there, so we were wearing boots down at Fort Bragg, which home of the airborne, which they thought they were the only ones that should have boots on.
Okay.
But we got along fine with them after that. Went to Fort Knox. Most of these were firing points. You know, we got to train our firing in Fort Knox.
What was your rank when you retired?
Colonel.
Okay.
06.
Let me ask you about racial tensions. Were there any racial tensions, or did you know, how did that affect, or did you see it affecting people's jobs?
I didn't see it affected. Now, we were, I forget what bank, it was a picket or what. Anyway, that's the first time they brought the women in, the whites, and we had to fix the barracks up for them. Like they wanted shower curtains, ironing boards, and so forth. Of course, the Army didn't have that, so we had to get all that ready for them. But we had no problems, really, with the...
Did you resent the women being there, or welcome them, or...?
We tried to stay away from them, but it's possible.
Why is that?
We'd get in trouble.
How do you think this thing now with the men and the women serving together?
I think it's fine, except I don't think submarine service should be integrated, because that's 6 months underwater with.
It might get a little tense, huh?
Yes, but otherwise I think it's fine. The Air Force and the Army and Marines.
Did you ever feel like the women got special treatment? I mean, I know you said the shower curtains, was that because you all wanted to do it, or because you were ordered to do it?
You're right, because they were going to live there, so they needed it done. But no, I don't think I can say that the women got any special treatment that I know of.
Okay. Now, I know you've got your friend here. Do you think of anything that I might ask him that...
Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake.
What, got any questions?
No. I live in Richmond, too, and I've known John for a few years. We go to church together, and then there's an adult water exercise class, and we go to it together. So we've become good friends, but I didn't know him when he was in the service.
Okay. Would you do it all over again?
Most of it.
What parts that you didn't like, that you just...
Well, I really can't say right now, because it's insignificant anyway, so...
Mm-hmm. Now, were you married? Did you get married during this time, or are you married now?
I got married in New York when I was stationed up there. And my wife died several years ago, and I'm married again. And we'll be married 25 years, March of 2010. And I have two boys, and she has she has a boy and three girls.
Now, were you able to take your family with you to the different assignments?
Took my wife to Florida, and then to Miami. So we lived there for a year and a half, so
Did you live on the base? Or
no, we had an apartment there, but we had a place over the beach at Cabana, which we could go to and enjoy the ocean.
Okay. That's another thing. What about your living quarters? What's the, since you span 30-some years, what's the difference in when you first went in, and I know that you weren't, say, living in housing, in military housing all the time, but could you tell me some of the differences that you saw?
Well, of course, we OCS, we lived in a hut, which was all right because they had six of us there. And Fort Bragg, we went into sort of a dilapidated housing there. But in New York, I was in private housing. Miami was in private housing. And but I went to, when I was in the Guard early, I went to a place in Western Kentucky, which we had 9 acres down there for training. Now we have 1,000 acres down there, and they have barracks that are really outstanding, new ones out there. So it's a little bit different what it was when I first went in the way it is now.
Now, when you said the huts, are you talking about like the Quonset huts or some other kind of huts?
Well, it's a wooden hut, but maybe it's 5 for 6 people.
Okay.
And we had a shower at the end of a walkway, but
the reason I ask is I know that at Berea that they had the metal,
yeah,
like half round, yeah, no, Eskimo
ours were,
deals.
Ours were wooden.
But wooden, okay. Yeah. So did now did what about housekeeping duties? Did you all had to clean up behind yourselves and
right,
things like that? What about cooking?
We usually had cooks out there. We got our own cooks in the Guard. And now they have hired cooks. But we did good. We had a good cook outfit.
So is that for better or worse from the in-house cooks to the hired cooks?
I don't know.
If you had to eat
difference.
It every day.
Yeah. If you complain about it, you're a mess sergeant. Mess officer the next day. But I can't complain too much about the food.
One of the things that they talk about now is the reception that the veterans have when they get home. So I know there was a difference in the ones coming back from World War II, and well, I don't know if Korea ever came home, but
Vietnam didn't welcome anybody.
And they didn't welcome anybody, and now we were going through the
Afghanistan, and mm-hmm. We had no better than World War II, and no problem whether ever with people when we came back.
Do you see any difference in the way the veterans are treated now, for better or worse?
I'm afraid I think it's worse. I don't think they're getting the attention they really need, but that's just my opinion.
What about medical treatment, that type of
thing? That's the main thing thinking about, yeah.
Okay. It seems like you hear a lot now about people with, I'm going to say emotional or mental problems as a result of what they've been in.
I think they're trying to work more about that when it first gets right back before he goes to the Veterans Hospital, but I don't know if they know what they're doing really. Probably do, but doctors get their own ideas of what they're doing.
They're still practicing. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us to share with? Just think about it. You're sharing this with future generations.
No, I'm just happy to see that we have a volunteer army I'm afraid they're overextending the Guard and Reserves and get the active Army. And I think they're gonna ruin the Guard and Reserve, keeping the rotation of those people out, because they cannot get a hold of a job and they cannot really save us with a family. So I don't know what's gonna happen on that.
Okay, I've heard that comment several times and got family that's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what, especially with this being on the spur of the moment, I appreciate you taking your time and talking to us about your experiences. And a lot of people think that, you know, it was all about going overseas or fighting or whatever, but this shows that you know, you evidently had a real vital part, even if you didn't know what you were carrying. Who knows what secret you were carrying up and down?
I always knew what I was carrying back.
Nothing. Okay. Well, I really appreciate this, and I will get a copy of this. If you have any mementos or anything you'd like to share with us, we'd be glad to include this with the interview packet if you want to bring it back when Mr. Stevens comes back.
Okay.
Or if you think of anything else you want to tell us.
Okay.
We'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.